Chapter 120. Mischief, I feel as if it were not for me to record, even though this manuscript is intended for no eyes but mine. How hard I worked at that tremendous shorthand, and all improvement appertaining to it, and my sense of responsibility to Dora and her aunts. I will only add, to what I have already written of my perseverance at this time of my life, and of a patient and continuous energy which then began to be matured within me, and which I know to be the strong part of my character, if it have any strength at all, that there, on looking back, I find the source of my success. I have been very fortunate in worldly matters. Many men have worked much harder, and not succeeded half so well. But I never could have done what I have done, without the habits of punctuality, order, and diligence, without the determination to concentrate myself on one object at a time, no matter how quickly its successor should come upon its heels, which I then formed. Heaven knows I write this, in no spirit of self-laudation. The man who reviews his own life, as I do mine, in going on here, from page to page, had need to have been a good man indeed, if he would be spared the sharp consciousness of many talents neglected, many opportunities wasted, many erratic and perverted feelings constantly at war within his breast, and defeating him. I do not hold one natural gift, I dare say, that I have not abused. My meaning simply is, that whatever I have tried to do in life, I have tried with all my heart to do well, that whatever I have devoted myself to, I have devoted myself to completely, that in great aims and in small, I have always been thoroughly in earnest. I have never believed it possible that any natural or improved ability can claim immunity from the companionship of the steady, plain, hard-working qualities, and hope to gain its end. There is no such thing as such fulfillment on this earth. Some happy talent, and some fortunate opportunity, may form the two sides of the ladder on which some men mount, but the rounds of that ladder must be made of stuff, to stand wear and tear, and there is no substitute for thoroughgoing, ardent, and sincere earnestness. Never to put one hand to anything on which I could throw my whole self, and never to affect appreciation of my work, whatever it was, I find, now, to have been my golden rules. How much of the practice I have just reduced to precept, I owe to Agnes, I will not repeat here. My narrative proceeds to Agnes, with a thankful love. She came on a visit of a fortnight to the doctor's. Mr. Wickfield was the doctor's old friend, and the doctor wished to talk with him, and do him good. It had been matter of conversation with Agnes, when she was last in town, and this visit was the result. She and her father came together. I was not much surprised to hear from her, that she had engaged to find a lodging in the neighborhood for Mrs. Heap, whose rheumatic complaint required change of air, and who would be charmed to have it in such company. Neither was I surprised when, on the very next day, Uriah, like a dutiful son, brought his worthy mother to take possession. "You see, Master Copperfield," apostrophe said he, as he forced himself upon my company for a turn in the doctor's garden, where a person loves, a person is a little jealous leastways, anxious to keep an eye on the beloved one. "Apostrophe, of whom are you jealous now?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," said one. "Thanks to you, Master Copperfield," apostrophe he returned, "of no one in particular just at present, no male person, at least." "Apostrophe, do you mean, that you are jealous of a female person?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," he gave me a sidelong glance out of his sinister red eyes, and laughed. "Really, Master Copperfield," apostrophe he said, "apostrophe I should say mister, but I know you'll excuse the bit I've got into ear so insinuating, that you draw me like a corkscrew. Well, I don't mind telling you," apostrophe putting his fish-like hand on mine, "I'm not a ladies' man in general, sir, and I never was, with Mrs. Strong." Apostrophe, his eyes looked green now, as they watched mine with a rascally cunning. "What do you mean?" "Apostrophe, apostrophe," said one. Why, though I am a lawyer, Master Copperfield, apostrophe he replied, with a dry grin, I mean, just at present, what I say. Apostrophe, and what do you mean by your look? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I retorted, quietly. By my look? Dear me, Copperfield, that's sharp practice. What do I mean by my look? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, apostrophe, said one. By your look. Apostrophe, he seemed very much amused, and laughed as heartily as it was in his nature to laugh. After some scraping of his chin with his hand, he went on to say, with his eyes cast downward still scraping, very slowly. When I was but an humble clerk, she always looked down upon me. She was forever having my Agnes backwards and forwards at her house, and she was forever being a friend to you, Master Copperfield. But I was too far beneath her, myself, to be noticed. Apostrophe, well? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said I. Suppose you were. Apostrophe, apostrophe, and beneath him too, apostrophe, pursued Uriah, very distinctly, and in a meditative tone of voice, as he continued to scrape his chin. Don't you know the doctor better, apostrophe, said I, than to suppose him conscious of your existence, when you were not before him? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he directed his eyes at me in that sidelong glance again, and he made his face very lantern-jawed, for the greater convenience of scraping, as he answered. Oh dear, I am not referring to the doctor. Oh no, poor man. I mean Mr. Melton. Apostrophe, apostrophe, my heart quite died within me. All my old doubts and apprehensions on that subject, all the doctor's happiness and peace, all the mingled possibilities of innocence and compromise, that I could not unravel, I saw, in a moment, at the mercy of this fellow's twisting. He never could come into the office, without ordering and shoving me about, apostrophe, said Uriah. One of your fine gentlemen he was. I was very meek, and humble, and I am. But I didn't like that sort of thing, and I don't. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he left off scraping his chin, and sucked in his cheeks until they seemed to meet inside, keeping his sidelong glance upon me all the while. She is one of your lovely women, she is, apostrophe, he pursued, when he had slowly restored his face to its natural form, and ready to be no friend to such as me, I know. She's just the person as would put my Agnes up to higher sort of game. Now, I ain't one of your ladies' men, Master Copperfield, but I've had eyes in my head, a pretty long time back. We humble ones have got eyes, mostly speaking, and we look out of 'em. Apostrophe, I endeavored to appear unconscious and not disquieted, but, I saw in his face, with poor success. Now, I'm not a going to let myself be run down, Copperfield, apostrophe, he continued, raising that part of his countenance, where his red eyebrows would have been if he had had any, with malignant triumph, and I shall do what I can to put a stop to this friendship. I don't approve of it. I don't mind acknowledging to you that I've got rather a grudging disposition, and want to keep off all intruders. I ain't a going, if I know it, to run the risk of being plotted against. Apostrophe, you are always plotting, and delude yourself into the belief that everybody else is doing the like, I think, apostrophe, said one. Perhaps so, Master Copperfield, apostrophe, he replied. But I've got a motive, as my fellow partner used to say, and I go at it tooth and nail. I mustn't be put upon, as a humble person, too much. I can't allow people in my way. Really, they must come out of the cart, Master Copperfield. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I don't understand you, apostrophe, said one. Don't you, though? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he returned, with one of his jerks. I'm astonished at that, Master Copperfield, you being usually so quick. I'll try to be plainer another time. Is that Mr. Melton on horseback, ringing at the gate, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, it looks like him, apostrophe, I replied, as carelessly as I could. Uriah stopped short, put his hands between his great knobs of knees, and doubled himself up with laughter. with perfectly silent laughter. Not a sound escaped from him. I was so repelled by his odious behavior, particularly by this concluding instance, that I turned away without any ceremony, and left him doubled up in the middle of the garden, like a scarecrow in want of support. It was not on that evening, but, as I well remember, on the next evening but one, which was a Sunday, that I took Agnes to see Dora. I had arranged the visit, beforehand, with Miss Lavinia, and Agnes was expected to tea. I was in a flutter of pride and anxiety, pride in my dear little betrothed, and anxiety that Agnes should like her. All the way to Putney, Agnes being inside the stagecoach, and I outside, I pictured Dora to myself in every one of the pretty looks I knew so well, now making up my mind that I should like her to look exactly as she looked at such a time, and then doubting whether I should not prefer her looking as she looked at such another time, and almost worrying myself into a fever about it. I was troubled by no doubt of her being very pretty, in any case, but it fell out that I had never seen her look so well. She was not in the drawing room when I presented Agnes to her little aunts, but was shyly keeping out of the way. I knew where to look for her now, and sure enough I found her stopping her ears again, behind the same dull old door. At first she wouldn't come at all, and then she pleaded for 5 minutes by my watch. When at length she put her arm through mine, to be taken to the drawing room, her charming little face was flushed, and had never been so pretty. But, when we went into the room, and it turned pale, she was 10,000 times prettier yet. Dora was afraid of Agnes. She had told me that she knew Agnes was too clever. But when she saw her looking at once, so cheerful and so earnest, and so thoughtful, and so good, she gave a faint little cry of pleased surprise, and just put her affectionate arms round Agnes's neck, and laid her innocent cheek against her face. I never was so happy. I never was so pleased as when I saw those two sit down together, side by side. As when I saw my little darling looking up so naturally to those cordial eyes. As when I saw the tender, beautiful regard which Agnes cast upon her. Miss Lavinia and Miss Clarissa partook, in their way, of my joy. It was the pleasantest tea table in the world. Miss Clarissa presided. I cut and handed the sweet seed cake. The little sisters had a bird-like fondness for picking up seeds and pecking at sugar. Miss Lavinia looked on with benignant patronage, as if our happy love were all her work, and we were perfectly contented with ourselves and one another. The gentle cheerfulness of Agnes went to all their hearts. Her quiet interest in everything that interested Dora, her manner of making acquaintance with Jip, who responded instantly, her pleasant way, when Dora was ashamed to come over to her usual seat by me, her modest grace and ease, eliciting a crowd of blushing little marks of confidence from Dora, seemed to make our circle quite complete. "I am so glad," said Dora, after tea, "that you like me. I didn't think you would. And I want, more than ever, to be liked, now Julia Mills is gone." I have omitted to mention it, by the by. Miss Mills had sailed, and Dora and I had gone aboard a Great East Indiaman at Gravesend to see her, and we had preserved ginger, and guava, and other delicacies of that sort for lunch, and we had left Miss Mills weeping on a camp stool on the quarter deck, with a large new diary under her arm, in which the original reflections awakened by the contemplation of ocean were to be recorded under lock and key. Agnes said she was afraid I must have given her an unpromising character, but Dora corrected that directly. "Oh no! She said, shaking her curls at me, "it was all praise. He thinks so much of your opinion that I was quite afraid of it. My good opinion cannot strengthen his attachment to some people whom he knows," said Agnes, with a smile. "It is not worth their having." "But please let me have it," said Dora, in her coaxing way, "if you can." apostrophe apostrophe, we made merry about Dora's wanting to be liked, and Dora said I was a goose, and she didn't like me at any rate, and the short evening flew away on gossamer wings. The time was at hand, when the coach was to call for us. I was standing alone before the fire, when Dora came stealing softly in, to give me that usual precious little kiss before I went. Don't you think, if I had had her for a friend a long time ago, Dodie, apostrophe said Dora, her bright eyes shining very brightly, and her little right hand idly busying itself with one of the buttons of my coat, I might have been more clever perhaps? Apostrophe apostrophe, my love. Apostrophe apostrophe said I, what nonsense. Apostrophe, do you think it is nonsense? Apostrophe apostrophe returned Dora, without looking at me. Are you sure it is? Apostrophe, of course I am. Apostrophe apostrophe I have forgotten, apostrophe said Dora, still turning the button round and round. What relation Agnes is to you, you dear bad boy? Apostrophe, no blood relation, apostrophe I replied, but we were brought up together, like brother and sister. Apostrophe, I wonder why you ever fell in love with me? Apostrophe, apostrophe said Dora, beginning on another button of my coat. Perhaps because I couldn't see you, and not love you, Dora. Apostrophe apostrophe, suppose you had never seen me at all, apostrophe said Dora, going to another button. Suppose we had never been born. Apostrophe apostrophe said I, gaily. I wondered what she was thinking about, as I glanced in admiring silence at the little soft hand traveling up the row of buttons on my coat, and at the clustering hair that lay against my breast, and at the lashes of her downcast eyes, slightly rising as they followed her idle fingers. At length her eyes were lifted up to mine, and she stood on tiptoe to give me, more thoughtfully than usual, that precious little kiss once, twice, three times and went out of the room. They all came back together within 5 minutes afterwards, and Dora's unusual thoughtfulness was quite gone then. She was laughingly resolved to put Jip through the whole of his performances, before the coach came. They took some time, not so. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.